from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Hour number 2 of Overtime on The Fan. Talking about Jaden Daniels. What is his potential? Like, what is his ceiling? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We'll get into some Nationals talk coming up at 5 o'clock. Toby Altizer with you alongside Heavy Metal Chris. Feel free to tweet at me as well at Toby_Altizer. Like, when we look at it, and you look at Lamar's career, and you look at the way that he's gone through his time, a lot of it's been injury-plagued, which is a big thing for him. And last caller brought up the size for Jaden Daniels. And I think the biggest thing for me going into this season for Jaden, so that, you know, you can help him reach his potential, is don't have him get hurt. And so if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, you know, I'm obviously working on the passing concepts. We're going through all these things. But when it comes to running the ball, he's natural as a runner. That's pretty obvious. You watch him. But there are certain things that he just doesn't understand, and that's protecting himself. You're a guy that's no longer the, you know, you're just the best athlete on the field. You know, you were that way in high school. You were that way at times in college, and you could just juke everybody, and nobody could touch you. That's not going to be the case in the NFL. There are certain times where you'll be able to run away from a linebacker or, you know, juke out a DB, whatever. But I can't be risking losing you for a significant amount of time. And so we've seen Lamar miss some time. You know, he hasn't started a full season, really, except for last year. 15 games in 2019, his MVP season. I think he probably missed some of those just being held out at the end of the year. 15 games in 2020. 12 games in 21, 12 games in 2022. So he's missed some time. And that's been a big reason. Like, you think about these Ravens teams over the last couple of years. You know, remember, they're trotting out, what was it, Tyler Huntley in a playoff game. You know, there was stuff where they just needed their guy. And so they need to find a way that as much as they work on him improving as a player and learning how to be a professional, and learning how to be a good passing quarterback, and understand the movements in the pocket, and going through his progressions, almost, if not just as important, if not maybe even a little bit more important, teach the guy and preach to the guy he has to protect himself, has to do it. It's not even really an option. Like, he shouldn't be tackled. He just shouldn't be. I wouldn't do anything if I'm Cliff Kingsbury where he's running up the middle. Like, if we want to run a little read option, he's going outside. I don't want you going in between the tackles. You know, just because of his size, I'm not pulling Cam Newton-esque heavy Panther formations and running up the middle. No, we're not doing that. We're running to the outside. And before you have the opportunity to get hit, get down.
Would you let him do a tush push?
I might. Just strictly because he's not going to get hit big time, I would hope, at least.
I still wonder why they have quarterbacks do that and not just snap to like a tight end, but whatever.
Well, because you saw. The Commanders did that with Logan Thomas, and everyone's what the heck?
Still, you don't want to lose a star quarterback, you know, like over something that stupid.
Well,
I don't know.
There's a team that doesn't do it, back-to-back Super Bowl champs, because remember, Patrick Mahomes had his kneecap dislocated trying it. So I don't care, but I would probably prefer another option. But when I look at Jaden, like, that's the number one thing, and I think it was a good point. I think it was, I forget his name, but the last caller, it's a great point.
Jack in Springfield.
Jack, yeah. It was a great point. The size is something that's always going to be an issue, And it's really taken Lamar into his sixth full season for him to fully understand how to protect himself. And I'm serious, if you didn't watch a whole lot of Ravens games last year, you could tell a difference in the way that Lamar ran when he ran last year. And that's what I want to see out of Jaden. When you saw Lamar run in his first couple of years, he'd run all over the place and he'd usually duck out of bounds. And I'd say he generally did a good job of protecting himself. But at times you maybe could get caught, and there were a couple times where he'd get hit a little bit. And sometimes that leads to some of those injuries. And some of that's going to happen in the pocket naturally, so you don't want to add on wear and tear by getting hit out and about. When you watched him this past season, it's almost like he ran at 60, 70, 80%. And in the playoffs, he finally opened it up a little bit, and that's fine to me because now it's do or die time. But during the regular season, he basically was just kind of wandering around out there. He wasn't doing anything to get himself hurt. It was almost to the point that he was so hyper aware of everything that as soon as a threat came within 3 yards of him, he said, all right, I go down. I just don't want to be touched, because he understood that him being on the field was more important than that extra 5 yards. And that's what I think they need to preach to Jaden Daniels is, look, dude, if it's a third and, you know, four and you got to, you know, try and pick up the first down, I can live with some of those sorts of scenarios. But if it's like I laid out before, if it's third and eight and you've already got 10 yards, I can live without getting 18 as long as you don't get hurt. I've already got the first down. Get what you're going for and then get down. He's got to learn how to protect himself, because this guy's hopefully going to be the franchise quarterback for this team for a decade plus. So you need this guy for the long haul. You can't have him accumulating hits already. And some of the hits that he took in college were already bad enough. You can't have that coming from professionals, or you're going to have maybe an RG3 type track where the dude just gets hurt and is never the same. So you don't want to have that. But when you look at Jaden's ceiling, I mean, I think this guy can be a top five quarterback. I think that he can be in that same sort of scenario as Lamar. And the interesting part about this is I think he's a better passer than Lamar. Not now necessarily, because he's a rookie and we haven't seen him on this stage yet. I think Lamar doesn't get the full credit that he deserves as a passer. I think he's, I would say, average to slightly above average as a pocket passer, and obviously everything else adds into it, and that kind of, you know, changes the way that defenses have to play him, and he can be a better passer because of it. But I would say that he's still, like, most people view him as below average as a pocket passer for whatever reason. I don't think that's the case. I think he's right at average, if not a slightly above it. Whereas I think that Jaden, once he gets comfortable, I think that you look at his ability in the pocket, just from seeing some of the things that he's done early on. And it's going to change when you throw the pads on and some of the bullets go flying. I get it. But I've seen him look pretty comfortable in the pocket and look like a guy that can get to 1 to 2 to 3. And I think he's a better passer coming out than Lamar was, because I think he's already got some of that stuff. I think he's already got some of the pocket awareness and the ability to get through his reads that it took a little bit of time for Lamar to get. So I'm intrigued, because I think if you're looking at Jaden and he can be a better passer and be a similar, like, let's take out the Lamar thing. Where does Jaden Daniels right now rank in terms of running as a quarterback? I think Lamar is better than him. You know, if we're talking about that style, then I think he's right behind Lamar in that style. If we're just talking strictly quarterbacks that can run, I think Josh Allen probably edges him out there. There aren't a whole lot of quarterbacks that are going to be better runners than Jaden Daniels as soon as he steps into the league. So it's all about how can he, one, protect himself, and then two, can he continue to develop as a passer while protecting himself as a runner? I mean, the sky's the limit. It really is. You know, he's got so much potential. It's just about finding a way to get it out of him. And one of the things that I was not a huge fan of initially was the hiring of Cliff Kingsbury, because I like the idea of having a guy that has been in the room developing really good quarterbacks, and I get all the stuff that goes along with that. But I just wasn't a fan of his style of offense and some of the things that come with it. But one of the reasons that I've kind of come around on that hiring is next coaching cycle, we're going to be talking about some of the sexy names to get hired, and it's going to be offensive whizzes like Bobby Slowick in Houston again. It's going to be Ben Johnson again in Detroit. Can't wait till he ditches someone else and they get mad at him too. But it's going to be guys like that. You know who's not going to be on there, even if they have a great season, more than likely, just because he's the quote-unquote retread? Cliff Kingsbury. And I think continuity, especially in the first couple years of your career, is so important. And so I like the fact that more than likely, unless something crazy happens, Cliff Kingsbury is here for at least Jaden Daniels' first two seasons, so he has some continuity to work on. So as he develops as a pro, he doesn't have to worry about learning multiple new offenses. And that's something that could change for some of the other guys. You think about Caleb Williams in Chicago. What's the guarantee that Eberflus and Shane Waldron stick around? There isn't. And so there's a chance, not saying it's a good chance, but there is a chance that if the Bears stink, that the whole coaching staff gets fired, and you've got a new coordinator for Caleb Williams in his second year, and Jaden Daniels would have some stability at that position at the offensive coordinator spot. So I do like that. And I think his ceiling is a guy that can be right in that conversation with Lamar and possibly being a top five quarterback. And I think that's exciting if you're a Commanders fan, because if you look at it, Lamar hopped into that conversation very early in his career, in the first couple of years. And if you're looking at Jaden Daniels, and I've laid this out before, when you draft a quarterback as high as the Commanders did here at number two, you're hoping this guy can prove that he's a dude, because your window suddenly becomes his rookie contract. And so, realistically for the Commanders, their contract is from now until 5 years from now when that rookie contract runs out, and hopefully you have to pay Jaden $50, $60, $70 million a year. Hopefully, because that would mean that he turns into a stud. But your window, like you look at the Texans, they realize that their window is now because C.J. Stroud said, I'm a dude. Their window is 4 years, the next 4 years with C.J. Stroud. If Jaden Daniels can prove that he is a dude right away for Washington, their window opens wide because, one, you're going to have a lot of cap space, and two, you're not having to pay the quarterback big bucks. And so all of a sudden, Adam Peters gets a chance to continue to develop his draft picks, hopefully nail another draft, and then ultimately bring in difference makers in free agency and go for it, like you saw Houston do with Stephon Diggs in a trade like that, and do different moves of that ilk. You know, right now is maybe not an Ayuk time, but think about if next offseason comes up and it's another high-name wide receiver like that. And if you're San Francisco or whoever has a guy that is a little bit frustrated, disgruntled, maybe next year is the time you make a move like that for a receiver or something of that sort, because Jaden Daniels could prove that he's the guy. So I think that's the most encouraging part, where he's got a ceiling that's really high, and we've already seen a guy that plays similarly to him come out and make a huge impact right away and win an MVP in a second season. Why couldn't Jaden Daniels do the same sort of thing? Gives you some hope. Gives you some hope. So last night I'm listening to the Infinity Sports Network, my guy Bart Winkler. I want to talk about some of the topics that he had. One of them he had was your favorite player on your least favorite team. I want to talk a little bit about that and like tweak it a hair. Who were some guys on your rival teams that you wish you could take to your own team? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Back Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. I want to get into a topic that was discussed last night on the Infinity Sports Network on the Bart Winkler Show and do a little bit of a twist on it. But first, Chris, we got a developing situation. I think they're playing in London. USA basketball down by 9 with 7:50 in the third quarter. This has been atrocious. This effort has been terrible.
They are at least whittling. They were down by, what, 14 at the half? So they're at least whittling away at that.
But Anthony Davis just got dunked over on a putback.
He's a big block right here, though. He had a big block. They're just showing.
What in the world, dude?
I don't know.
Like, if you're Steve Kerr at halftime, what in the world is your... You're down by 14 to South Sudan.
It's embarrassing, man.
What's your halftime speech? What's your halftime speech? Are you gonna? They should go in and give a Herb Brooks thing, and he should have called out Kevin Durant.
It's embarrassing. That's what I'd be like. You guys are just making a fool of yourselves.
At least this game doesn't matter, but it doesn't make me feel any better. Right? Like this game ultimately does not matter. This doesn't count for the Olympics. This is kind of a tune-up match. But still, this is not great. Like at least when the Dream Team lost, the only time they lost to that college all-star team or whatever, it was behind closed doors, and we only ever heard about it through like different stories, but no one got to see it.
Well, you know what that was, too, though. They didn't know the international rules, and so that was the coach, which I think was Coach K, I think.
No.
Right? Coach K was one of the coaches.
The Dream Team, I'm trying to remember, who was it?
I think he was one of the coaches, which is why Christian Laettner was on the team, but he may not have been the head coach.
Let's see who was.
But anyway, the reason was they were trying to teach them that, like,
Chuck Daly,
you guys have to relearn, like, the rules because, like, they're calling them for all these penalties that they didn't realize, you know, the different, the different rules of the international
game. Well, and here's a eye-opener if you're Adam Silver in the NBA. Your players are infinitely more talented than this team, but they can't play because NBA basketball is such a sham, the style of it. They're not getting every call, and so they can't play. And the way
I don't know if it's all that. I have seen them arguing with the refs a lot, and I'm like, they need to knock that off. You don't do that in this international.
But Chris, that's NBA basketball. Arguing with the refs.
They need to stop that crap.
Begging for every foul.
I saw Steph doing it. I saw LeBron doing it. It's like, stop it. Stop. Every time they blow the whistle, they're turning around and going, what? They're doing the weird face. You know, like, I can't believe. Like,
that's NBA basketball.
I know. I hate it. It's the worst part of the game.
You're not seeing these other. They've got to find a way. Because this is terrible. And USA is probably going to come back and win this. It's now a 6-point game. They'll probably come back and win this game. Whatever. It's just, it shows you that the NBA style of basketball is not the style worldwide. And the NBA just can't adjust to it because they're so used to getting every call and the little ticky-tack stuff. And it's part of the reason why, for myself, I used to be a huge NBA fan. Now, I don't find myself making an appointment television to watch the NBA.
I still watch a lot of NBA, but I think a big difference here, too, is they were playing no defense in that first half. I mean, there was just sloppy, and it's like there's all this offense, but if they're not stopping anything, you know.
NBA basketball.
I know.
Defense.
I know. There's not a lot of defense in the NBA anymore. It's all about who's scoring, you know, but.
I don't know. I could
I mean,
go.
South Sudan put up, what was it, 58 points in the first half?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. U.S. has to be better. U.S. absolutely has to be better. So I want to get into this topic. Last night I'm listening to my guy Bart Winkler driving home watching, I watched Twisters last night with Grant Paulson, Ryan Clary, and Darius Dameron. Twisters. Any interest in seeing it?
No, I didn't really like the old one either.
Well, I didn't even know there was an old one.
So. Well, the old one was Twister.
Okay, well, this one was Twister.
I don't know if it's like a sequel or just kind of a,
I think it's a play off the old one. I don't know. Glenn Powell's in it, a.k.a. Ryan Clary. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed hanging out with the guys. But driving home last night, listening to our station, and Bart Winkler was on, my former colleague back in Milwaukee. He was on the Infinity Sports Network, his show 10 to 2 at night, was talking about your favorite player on your least favorite team. And then a tweak on that I want to ask is, who's a player on a rival team that you wish you could bring to D.C.? 800-636-1067.
I've got one for that already. I just thought of one.
1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. Well, let's hear yours.
Evgeny Malkin.
Malkin.
I would love to see him play with Ovi. Yeah.
Well, here's the fun one. If you're going to go with hockey, because I was thinking about it. I don't think I could do it because they've been pitted against each other. Sidney Crosby?
Nah, but I hate Sid the Kid. I like Malkin a lot better.
Could you imagine?
I'd like to see the two Russians play together. And they play together on the Russian national team when they're in the Olympics.
But could you imagine Sidney Crosby setting up Ovi in his office?
I don't know, man. I just
I don't think I could do it because I despise like Sid the Kid.
I don't like the style of the I'm not a Crosby fan. I just
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to do it, two of the greatest hockey players of all time.
Certainly of their generation, yeah.
But, they, you know, it's kind of tough because when you're thinking through, like, guys that you would take from, I can't take someone that I just despise as a player, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I mean. So I would take Malkin. I'd love to see Malkin have played. And, you know, when Ovi and him were both in their primes, that'd been awesome.
I was thinking about this, too. Like, so I was going through rivals, right? So you think about the...
Lawrence Taylor's another one, too. NFC I'd love East, to see yeah. LT, yeah.
You think about the NFC East. You go through the Giants. You go through, you know, the Eagles and the Cowboys. That's pretty obvious. You think about the Nationals. You got the Phillies. You got the Braves. And if you want to throw in the Mets there as well, I don't think the Marlins really count, even though they're in the division. No one really cares. when you come to the Capitals, you got plenty, whether it's the Rangers, obviously the Penguins. Some people hate the Panthers and... whoever else, who the heck is the Wizards' rival? I was trying to think of that last night because I was like, if you could add anybody to the Wizards from their rival, I'm like, they've been so bad for so long now. And even when they're good, it's not like really good.
No,
it's like, oh, okay, they made the playoffs. Congratulations.
Well, what was it? Agent Zero was on the cover of the NBA basketball game the 1 year. And then everything got blown up because that's the curse, you know?
Who is the Wizards' rival? Do they have a rival?
I don't know, man.
I don't think there's any team I despise. Like any team that I despise, in the NBA is from my time in Milwaukee.
I remember when LeBron went back to the Cavs, and for whatever reason, the Wizards were just very good against the LeBron Cavs.
Well, I remember when
I don't know if that's a rivalry, but I just remember like they would generally beat them or at least put them in very close games, even though the Wizards were terrible. And the Cavs were dominant in the East at that point.
So I was a kid. You'll have to correct me. I'm not as familiar with this. But LeBron's initial stint with the Cavaliers.
Yeah, the original.
I remember the playoff series, Wizards-Cavaliers.
Yeah.
But I have family in like the Cleveland area. I was cheering for the Wizards. I wanted them to win. But like I didn't have a vitriol for the Cavaliers. Was there a vitriol for that team?
No, I don't think so. I mean, not really.
Don't feel like the Wizards don't have a rival. It kind of sucks.
I'm trying to think.
I've been to a couple of Wizards games the last couple of years, and you almost see more opposing jerseys because that's what the selling point is right now. Like I went.
You see the stars on the other teams.
My first time coming back here from Milwaukee, where I lived for a couple of years, and I went to see the Bucks play because I'd covered the Bucks for a little. I thought it'd be cool. Everyone was there to see Giannis. And I can understand it with some of the guys like that to an extent. But like I went to a Warriors game, everyone's there early to watch Steph warm up. That's all they cared about. And like I was sitting in one of the sections and I was just being an idiot, being an obnoxious fan because everyone in my section was Warriors fans.
Yeah.
And so Steph had like the worst game of his career that night. And I think Kispert knocked down a 3-1. Best shooter in the building. Like, everybody around me just like stared at me like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, is there even a rival for the Wiz?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I don't know. Like, I generally think of every team that Philadelphia has as some sort of rival.
Sure.
Just because the city is so close and all our teams are always in the same divisions and whatever. But I don't even know if I call the Sixers a rival, especially with Josh Harris owning the Sixers.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know.
That's the only team I can think of just because of the rivalry between the cities.
Yeah. And that's more just
the teams.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the closest I can come up with.
Either way, favorite player on your least favorite team. And if you could take a player from your rival to add to DC, who would it be? 800-636-1067. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can also tweet at me at @Toby_Altizer. We'll get some of your answers next. 106.7 The Fan, it's overtime on a Saturday. Team USA making a bit of a comeback, now within three. LeBron with a nice dunk after a nice play by Drew Holiday. But again, just a bad effort by the U.S. team. They just knocked down a three to tie it. So I think they're still
Booker the tight end there?
They'll probably come back. Yeah, Devin Booker. Yep. They'll probably come back and win this game, but still, maybe this is a wake-up call they need. I don't quite understand why you need a wake-up call. It seems like this team plays way too many close games with teams that they should be blowing out, but regardless. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. What is your favorite player? Who is your favorite player on your least favorite team? And if you could take any player from a rival, it could be now or all time, who would it be to bring to D.C.? 800-636-1067. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So when I think of the Dallas Cowboys, generally, not generally, 99.999% of the time, it's a feeling of despise and just can't stand them. And the star gives me a bit of, makes your skin crawl a little bit. And I was taught growing up that if you are shopping at a store and you accidentally touch Dallas gear, you go wash your hands. So I fully get the hate there. But if there was one player that I always respected, and it's the only guy that I, like when I hear the Dallas Cowboys and I have positive thoughts about, Marion Barber. Rest in peace to Marion Barber. I loved watching him play. The violent running style. I don't know. There was just something about Marion Barber that I respected. Not anyone else for the Cowboys, but I did like Marion Barber. Is there anybody for you, Chris?
I would probably say Micah Parsons if I had to pick a Cowboy. I wouldn't mind him being on our team.
Yeah, I don't hate him.
No.
I don't hate him. But
I mean, he's a fun-to-watch player.
He is.
There's certain players in every sport, I feel,
now,
that you don't have to necessarily like their team, but you just kind of watch that player whenever they're involved, you know? And I feel he's one of those kind of guys.
Now, I'm curious, where do you think he ranks in terms of best defensive players? Because to me, if I were starting a team...
Like pass rushers only?
Defensive players, period.
All right. They're throwing safeties and corners and stuff in there.
Like, to me, I would take Micah Parsons number one in terms of defensive players. I think Myles Garrett's right there. Nick Bosa's right there.
Yeah, Bosa's might be my number one, but he's right up in that conversation.
Yeah, I would take Parsons personally. 800-636-1067. Who is your favorite player on your least favorite team? Or if there's a player you could take from a rival to add to a DC team, who would it be? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
All right, here we go. How we doing, Toby? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
How about you can put Adam Dunn, Frank Howard with James Wood. They all came up as center fielders, two sport athletes. What do you think? And thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that'd be an interesting... I mean, Adam Dunn was here, so I don't know that you needed to think about that. But yeah, I mean, those are some interesting names. I'd be interested, though, like when you think about baseball... It sucks because the Phillies could have looked at the Nationals and said, who are some teams who are some players from the Nationals that you want to add? They would have said, Bryce Harper, yeah. Trey Turner,
yeah.
Maybe Kyle Schwarber. Like, is that what the Phillies did? Like, if you're a former National that, you know, is somewhat good, they're like, why don't you come on over here to Philadelphia? Like, that's a little bit frustrating. I like Acuna, though. I don't mind Ronald Acuna. And that's my least favorite baseball team.
I don't
team
like
by
the
far.
Cheaters. I can't. Nah.
Acuna? He didn't cheat.
Was he on the Houston team doing that?
No. Ronald Acuna's for the Braves.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of someone else then.
No. That's
you know the baseball way better.
You're thinking Altuve.
Than me. Altuve, that's the one. You're right. Yep.
No,
that's it.
Ronald Acuna, I don't mind. But outside of that, the Braves are tough. The Phillies, I don't know that there's anybody on the Phillies. I think Nick Castellanos is hilarious, even though a lot of people hate him. Whatever. 800-636-1067. Let's get out.
You know,
to...
I would say Clayton Kershaw, man, when he was on the Dodgers doing those fantastic Cy Young seasons, man. It would have been cool to have him.
I don't really view them as a rival, though.
I feel like, I don't know. The Dodgers, I feel like they were, at least at that time.
Let's get out to John in Arlington. John, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about you, John?
Not too bad. My favorite player, got to be Terry McLaurin. I'm an Eagles fan.
Okay.
And I would do anything to have him on that team.
So there was a bit that I had, real quick, John. There was a bit that I had. I worked in Wisconsin for a while. I mentioned a little bit earlier. And before he signed his contract extension, everybody in Wisconsin was trying to get Terry McLaurin to the Packers. And I would always play the soundbite from Will Smith saying, "Keep my wife's name out your mouth."
Nice. Oh, snap.
And John, I love Terry McLaurin, too, and I hope he never goes to Philly.
I don't think he ever will. Good things for the Commanders this year.
What do you expect out of the Eagles this year, John?
Oh, man, they better get at least 13 wins or it's a failure.
Do you like that they kept Sirianni?
Yeah, I do. I'll give him one more year. See if he can keep the clubhouse under control.
Yeah, that was a wild second half for them. John, appreciate the phone call.
Talk about implosion, huh?
No kidding, dude. No kidding.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, John.
Hey, one more week till I bust out the Eagles gear and I can start wearing it again.
All right.
Looking forward to that.
As long as you never wear a 17 with a McLaurin on the back and that ugly Eagles colors, then I don't mind. John, appreciate it.
No, I got to go with the black jersey. Nice talking to you guys.
All right, John. Let's get out to Key in Woodbridge. Key, what's going on?
What's going on, man? First time caller. How you doing?
Appreciate it, Key. I'm doing great.
So I'm going with Dez Bryant from the Cowboys, man.
He's your favorite player from your least favorite team, or a guy you could take?
Yes, for sure. Or worse from the worst. Either way you want to say it, I'm definitely taking Dez.
Man, see, and this is the one where, like, when we were talking earlier about Sid the Kid, like, I think Sidney Crosby is a heck of a player, but because of how I feel about Sidney Crosby, I can never say I'd want him here in D.C. Dez Bryant,
I hear you.
Dez Bryant might be my least favorite football player. So I would really, really struggle with that, man.
I hear you. I know other fans around are probably saying the same thing.
We would play. So I worked at camp for a summer. Key, appreciate the phone call, man.
Already.
We would play this game, Chris, at camp when I worked at a camp one summer. And we'd play like human tic-tac-toe, and you'd have to like go and you'd like run to a chair. You know the hardest thing for me, Chris? I hated being the stupid X team. Why? Because I had to throw up the stupid Dez Bryant X sign. I could not stand it. And everybody knew I despised the Cowboys. And anytime it would pop up, they'd take a picture and be like, oh, Dez Bryant fan. Like, no, 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 no. No. Far from it.
Let me tell you, metalheads have a similar issue with the Hook'em horns. Let me just say that.
See, I don't mind the Longhorns, so I'm all right with that.
I don't care one way or the other, but let me just tell you, I ain't doing that because I'm a Longhorns fan, you know?
You're not a big Arch Manning fan? I'm a little disappointed. Let's get out to Kyle in Rockville. Kyle, what's going on?
Hey, yeah. If I could pick one player from another rival team, it'd definitely be Devonta Smith from the Eagles. I love how humble he is and just not afraid to do anything and works his tail off.
Yeah, you got to respect him. Kyle, appreciate the phone call. You got to respect him because one thing that we're seeing with a lot of receivers around the league, and it's just been a thing, it's how receivers play, and I don't want a receiver that doesn't have a little bit of an ego, you know, at least a little bit of one. But, like, Terry's never caused any issues here. It doesn't seem like Devontae Smith has ever caused any issues in Philadelphia. Like, I think A.J. Brown's better. I think A.J. Brown is one of the best receivers in football. But you've seen him, like, complaining on the sidelines and things. I don't know that you've really ever seen anything big time from Devontae Smith. So when you can get a receiver that is as skilled as, like, a Terry here or Devontae Smith out in Philadelphia, I can always respect when they have that sort of an attitude where even when things aren't going their way, they're not acting like, you know, prima donnas on the sideline and complaining to their quarterback. And even if they do complain to their quarterback, it's behind closed doors in the club, in the locker room or whatever. So, yeah, I think Devontae Smith is a heck of a player, and I definitely respect his game. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on this topic? We're going to take a break. We'll get into some Nationals talk leading into Nats baseball coming up at 5 o'clock. I'm Toby Altizer. It's overtime here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until Nationals baseball. A take on the Reds tonight, game two of the series. Nick Lodolo on the mound for the Reds. James Wood batting seventh because of that for the Nationals. Mackenzie Gore on the hill for the Nats. We'll get into some in-depth Nats talk coming up at 5 o'clock. Right now we're wrapping up the discussion of your favorite player on your least favorite team or someone that plays for a rival that you wish could come to D.C. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. So when it comes to the Eagles, I can't think of anybody that I like. I'm thinking more so favorite player on your least favorite team. Like, I don't know. I respect Devontae Smith. I think that's an interesting one or a guy that you wouldn't mind bringing over. I think Parsons is someone I would like to have here in D.C. Maybe that could happen. I would love to have Micah Parsons. Now, how do you feel, Chris, about guys with podcasts and them being on a team?
I don't care that much one way or the other, as long as it doesn't interrupt the stuff. You know what I mean? Like, if you're causing locker room issues because you're like, hey, man, I was in the locker room and this guy on my team said this and I didn't appreciate, like, I don't want to hear all that kind of stuff. But well,
little bit of drama that was created recently with some of that stuff with a Cowboys teammate. I forget, but I don't know. I don't hate it. I mean, there's going to be one here. Austin Eckler is a podcaster. Yeah. So if you want some in-depth, what I think he does, like, fantasy football as a podcast.
Yeah, I don't. That doesn't bother me. I don't know.
I think it's interesting. Giants, though. Have you been watching the off-season Hard Knocks?
No, I don't. What is it, on Netflix?
HBO.
Yeah, I don't have HBO.
So this is where it gets interesting. Like, they've showed the first couple of episodes, and a lot of them have been focusing on, obviously, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether they were going to bring him back, or they were going to re-sign him, or he was going to walk. And so many of the episodes have been focused on that. And basically, the deal was that Saquon was going to go out, find the market, and then he would come back to the Giants and let them know what the market was, and they would decide whether they wanted to match that deal or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was interesting watching all of that play out, and at one point, John Mara walks in and is like, I'm going to have a hard time if Saquon ends up in Philly. Well, Saquon ended up in Philly, and I'm interested to see how he does this year in Philly, because honestly, that's a guy that I've never minded as a rival player. Like, I enjoyed watching Saquon. I went and saw him 1 year play while he was still at Penn State, drove down to Northwestern and watched him play there. It really is bottled up. Actually, the other guy in that game was, I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember his exact name, but he played running back for the Chargers for quite some time, and he was a solid player. But Saquon was kind of bottled up, and then he broke off like a 70-yard touchdown run. So I've enjoyed watching Saquon even back to Penn State, so I haven't had any vitriol towards him, and honestly, I wouldn't mind him as someone maybe you could add to your team in D.C., not necessarily at this point in his career, but I'm interested to see how he fits in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
106.7 The Fan, it's overtime on a Saturday. Team USA making a bit of a comeback, now within 3. LeBron with a nice dunk after a nice play by Drew Holiday. But again, just a bad effort by the U.S. team. They just knocked down a 3 to tie it. So I think they're still
going to... Booker the tight end there?
They'll probably come back. Yeah, Devin Booker. Yep. They'll probably come back and win this game, but still, maybe this is a wake-up call they need. I don't quite understand why you need a wake-up call. It seems like this team plays way too many close games with teams that they should be blowing out. But regardless, 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. What is your favorite player? Who is your favorite player on your least favorite team? And if you could take any player from a rival, it could be now or all time, who would it be to bring to D.C.? 800-636-1067. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So, when I think of the Dallas Cowboys, not generally, 99.999% of the time, it's a feeling of despise and just can't stand them. And the star gives me a bit of, makes your skin crawl a little bit. And I was taught growing up that if you are shopping at a store and you accidentally touch Dallas gear, you go wash your hands. So I fully get the hate there, But if there was one player that I always respected, and it's the only guy that I, like when I hear the Dallas Cowboys and I have positive thoughts about, Marion Barber. Rest in peace to Marion Barber. I loved watching him play. The violent running style. I don't know. There was just something about Marion Barber that I respected. Not anyone else for the Cowboys, but I did like Marion Barber. Is there anybody for you, Chris?
I would probably say Micah Parsons if I had to pick a Cowboy. I wouldn't mind him being on our team.
Yeah, I don't hate him.
No.
I don't hate him. But
I mean, he's a fun-to-watch player.
He is.
There's certain players in every sport, I feel,
now,
that you don't have to necessarily like their team, but you just kind of watch that player whenever they're involved, you know? And I feel he's one of those kind of guys.
Now, I'm curious, where do you think he ranks in terms of best defensive players? Because to me, if I were starting a team...
Like pass rushers only?
It's defensive players, period.
All right. They're throwing safeties and corners and stuff in there.
Like, to me, I would take Micah Parsons number one in terms of defensive players. I think Myles Garrett's right there. Nick Bosa's right there.
Yeah, Bosa might be my number one, but he's right up in that conversation.
Yeah, I would take Parsons personally. 800-636-1067. Who is your favorite player on your least favorite team? Or if there's a player you could take from a rival to add to a DC team, who would it be? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
All right, here we go. How we doing, Toby? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
How about if you can put Adam Dunn, Frank Howell with James Wood? They all came up as center fielders, two sport athletes. What do you think? And thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that'd be an interesting. I mean, Adam Dunn was here, so I don't know that you need to think about that. But yeah, I mean, those are some interesting names. I'd be interested, though, like when you think about baseball. It sucks because the Phillies could have looked at the Nationals and said, who are some teams that who are some players from the Nationals that you want to add? They would have said, Bryce Harper, yeah. Trey Turner,
yeah.
Maybe Kyle Schwarber. Like, is that what the Phillies did? Like, if you're a former National that, you know, is somewhat good, they're like, why don't you come on over here to Philadelphia? Like, that's a little bit frustrating. I like Acuna, though. I don't mind Ronald Acuna. And that's my least favorite baseball team.
I don't like the
far.
Cheaters. I can't. Nah.
Acuna? He didn't cheat.
Was he on the Houston team doing that?
No, Ronald Acuna's for the Braves.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of someone else then.
No. That's
you know the baseball way better
Altuve.
Than me. Altuve, that's the one. You're right. Yep.
No,
that's
Ronald Acuna, I don't mind. But outside of that, the Braves are tough. The Phillies, I don't know that there's anybody on the Phillies. I think Nick Castellanos is hilarious, even though a lot of people hate him. Whatever. 800-636-1067. Let's get out.
You know,
to...
I would say Clayton Kershaw, man, when he was on the Dodgers doing those fantastic Cy Young seasons, man. It would have been cool
well,
to
I
have
don't,
him.
I don't really view them as a rival, though.
I feel like, I don't know. The Dodgers, I feel like they were, at least at that time.
Let's get out to John in Arlington. John, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about you, John?
Not too bad. My favorite player got to be Terry McLaurin. I'm an Eagles fan.
Okay.
And I would do anything to have him on that team.
So there was a bit that I had real quick, John. There was a bit that I had. I worked in Wisconsin for a while. I mentioned a little bit earlier. And before he signed his contract extension, everybody in Wisconsin was trying to get Terry McLaurin to the Packers. And I would always play the sound bite from Will Smith saying, keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Nice. Oh, snap.
and John, I love Terry McLaurin, too, and I hope he never goes to Philly.
I don't think he ever will. Good things for the Commanders this year.
What do you expect out of the Eagles this year, John?
Oh, man, they better get at least 13 wins or it's a failure.
Do you like that they kept Sirianni?
Yeah, I do. I'll give him one more year. See if he can keep the clubhouse under control.
Yeah, that was a wild second half for them. John, appreciate the phone call.
Talk about implosion, huh?
No kidding, dude. No kidding.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, John.
But hey, one more week till I bust out the Eagles gear and I can start wearing it again.
All right.
Looking forward to that.
As long as you never wear a 17 with a McLaurin on the back and that ugly Eagles colors, then I don't mind. John, appreciate
it. No, I got to go with the black jersey. Nice talking to you guys.
All right, John. Let's get out to Key in Woodbridge. Key, what's going on?
What's going on, man? First time caller. How you doing?
Appreciate it, Key. I'm doing great.
So I'm going with Dez Bryant from the Cowboys, man.
He's your favorite player from your least favorite team, or a guy which you wish you could take.
Yes, for sure. Or worse from the worst. Either way you want to say it, I'm definitely taking Dez.
Man, see, and this is the one where, like, when we were talking earlier about Sid the Kid, like, I think Sidney Crosby is a heck of a player, but because of how I feel about Sidney Crosby, I can never say I'd want him here in D.C. Dez Bryant,
I hear you.
Dez Bryant might be my least favorite football player, so I would really, really struggle with that, man.
I hear you.
That.
I know other fans around are probably saying the same thing.
We would play, so I worked at camp for a summer. Key, appreciate the phone call, man.
Already.
We would play this game, Chris, at camp when I worked at a camp one summer. And we'd play like human tic-tac-toe, and you'd have to like go and you'd like run to a chair. You know the hardest thing for me, Chris? I hated being the stupid X team. Why? Because I had to throw up the stupid Dez Bryant X sign. I could not stand it. And everybody knew I despised the Cowboys. And anytime it would pop up, they'd take a picture and be like, oh, Dez Bryant fan. Like, no. Far from it.
Let me tell you, metalheads have a similar issue with the hook'em horns. Let me just say that.
See, I don't mind the Longhorns, so I'm all right with that.
I don't care one way or the other, but let me just tell you, I ain't doing that because I'm a Longhorns fan, you know?
You're not a big Arch Manning fan? I'm a little disappointed. Let's get out to Kyle in Rockville. Kyle, what's going on?
Hey, yeah. If I could pick one player from another rival team, it would definitely be Devonta Smith from the Eagles. I love how humble he is and just not afraid to do anything and works his tail off.
Yeah, you got to respect him. Kyle, appreciate the phone call. You got to respect him because one thing that we're seeing with a lot of receivers around the league, and it's just been a thing, it's how receivers play, and I don't want a receiver that doesn't have a little bit of an ego, you know, at least a little bit of one. But, like, Terry's never caused any issues here. It doesn't seem like Devontae Smith has ever caused any issues in Philadelphia. Like, I think A.J. Brown's better. I think A.J. Brown is one of the best receivers in football. But you've seen him, like, complaining on the sidelines and things. I don't know that you've really ever seen anything big time from Devontae Smith. So when you can get a receiver that is as skilled as, like, a Terry here or Devontae Smith out in Philadelphia, I can always respect when they have that sort of an attitude where even when things aren't going their way, they're not acting like, you know, prima donnas on the sideline and complaining to their quarterback. And even if they do complain to their quarterback, it's behind closed doors in the club, in the locker room or whatever. So, yeah, I think Devontae Smith is a heck of a player, and I definitely respect his game. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on this topic? We're going to take a break. We'll get into some Nationals talk leading into Nats baseball coming up at 5 o'clock. I'm Toby Altizer. It's overtime here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until Nationals baseball. A take on the Reds tonight, game two of the series. Nick Lodolo on the mound for the Reds. James Wood batting seventh because of that for the Nationals. Mackenzie Gore on the hill for the Nats. We'll get into some in-depth Nats talk coming up at 5 o'clock. Right now we're wrapping up the discussion of your favorite player on your least favorite team or someone that plays for a rival that you wish could come to D.C. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. So when it comes to the Eagles, I can't think of anybody that I like. I'm thinking more so favorite player on your least favorite team. Like, I don't know. I respect Devontae Smith. I think that's an interesting one or a guy that you wouldn't mind bringing over. I think Parsons is someone I would like to have here in D.C. Maybe that could happen. I would love to have Micah Parsons. Now, how do you feel, Chris, about guys with podcasts and them being on a team?
I don't care that much one way or the other. As long as it doesn't interrupt the stuff, you know what I mean? Like, if you're causing locker room issues because you're like, hey, man, I was in the locker room and this guy on my team said this and I didn't appreciate, like, I don't want to hear all that kind of stuff. But well,
there was a little bit of drama that was created recently with some of that stuff with a Cowboys teammate. I forget, but I don't know. I don't hate it. I mean, there's going to be one here. Austin Eckler is a podcaster. Yeah. So if you want some in-depth, what I think he does like fantasy football as a podcast.
Yeah, I don't. That doesn't bother me. I don't know.
I think it's interesting. Giants, though, have you been watching the off-season Hard Knocks?
No, I don't. What is it, on Netflix?
HBO.
Yeah, I don't have HBO.
So this is where it gets interesting. Like, they've showed the first couple of episodes, and a lot of them have been focusing on, obviously, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether they were going to bring him back, or they were going to re-sign him, or he was going to walk. And so many of the episodes have been focused on that. And basically, the deal was that Saquon was going to go out, find the market, and then he would come back to the Giants and let them know what the market was, and they would decide whether they wanted to match that deal or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was interesting watching all of that play out, and at one point, John Mara walks in and is like, I'm going to have a hard time if Saquon ends up in Philly. Well, Saquon ended up in Philly, and I'm interested to see how he does this year in Philly, because honestly, that's a guy that I've never minded as a rival player. Like, I enjoyed watching Saquon. I went and saw him 1 year play while he was still at Penn State, drove down to Northwestern and watched him play there. It really is bottled up. Actually, the other guy in that game was, trying to remember who it was. I can't remember his exact name, but he played running back for the Chargers for quite some time, and he was a solid player. But Saquon was kind of bottled up, and then he broke off like a 70-yard touchdown run. So I've enjoyed watching Saquon even back to Penn State, so I haven't had any vitriol towards him, and honestly, I wouldn't mind him as someone maybe you could add to your team in D.C. Not necessarily at this point in his career, but I'm interested to see how he fits in Philadelphia. Because I thought that they had a guy in Swift that was solid. Like I thought DeAndre Swift was a good running back, and they just didn't seem to fully go in on handing him the football. And I don't know what exactly happened there back in Detroit, because it seemed like he would have stretches where he was solid with Detroit, and they ultimately moved on from him to Philadelphia. Philly didn't seem to want to use him as the workhorse back, even though they only kept him for a year. It was a little odd. Like, maybe it's something with DeAndre Swift that goes along with it, that he's, I don't know if it's behind the scenes or he's telling his guy, I don't know. But I think he's a lot better than he gets credit for, but for whatever reason, he's never used as like a full workhorse.
You know, I was just thinking from the Eagles too, like if you're going back in their history, would have been Reggie White.
Oh yeah, Reggie White.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given, I think.
Oh yeah. Who wouldn't love Reggie White? And good guy, yeah. Right? Like, so, yeah, I don't, that would have been cool to watch. I wish I could have watched players like him play. And I think you brought up the one earlier that would have been so much fun with Lawrence Taylor. Like, that would have been really cool to see. So I want to get into some Nationals discussion. So we're beginning the second half. It started last night as the Nationals got a win over the Reds to start their second half of the year, the unofficial second half of the year. They're already almost 100 games in. But post All-Star break, what are some storylines to keep an eye on, and what can we expect out of the Nationals coming up at the trade deadline in just 10 days? We'll talk about all that and more coming up in the final full hour of Overtime here on The Fan next. Welcome back. It is Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until Nationals baseball. Take on the Reds tonight, game two of the series. Nick Lodolo on the mound for the Reds. James Wood batting seventh because of that for the Nationals. Mackenzie Gore on the hill for the Nats. We'll get into some in-depth Nats talk coming up at 5 o'clock. Right now we're wrapping up the discussion of your favorite player on your least favorite team, or someone that plays for a rival that you wish could come to D.C. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. So when it comes to the Eagles, I can't think of anybody that I like. I'm thinking more so favorite player on your least favorite team. Like, I don't know. I respect Devontae Smith. I think that's an interesting one, or a guy that you wouldn't mind bringing over. I think Parsons is someone I would like to have here in D.C. Maybe that could happen. I would love to have Micah Parsons. Now, how do you feel, Chris, about guys with podcasts and them being on a team?
I don't care that much one way or the other, as long as it doesn't interrupt the stuff. You know what I mean? Like, if you're causing locker room issues because you're like, hey, man, I was in the locker room and this guy on my team said this and I didn't appreciate, like, I don't want to hear all that kind of stuff. But well,
little bit of drama that was created recently with some of that stuff with a Cowboys teammate. I forget, but I don't know. I don't hate it. I mean, there's going to be one here. Austin Eckler is a podcaster. Yeah. So if you want some in-depth, what I think he does, like, fantasy football as a podcast.
Yeah, I don't, that doesn't bother me. I don't know.
I think it's interesting. Giants, though, have you been watching the off-season Hard Knocks?
No, I don't. What is it, on Netflix?
HBO.
Yeah, I don't have HBO.
So this is where it gets interesting. Like, they've showed the first couple of episodes, and a lot of them have been focusing on, obviously, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether they were going to bring him back, or they were going to re-sign him, or he was going to walk. And so many of the episodes have been focused on that. And basically, the deal was that Saquon was going to go out, find the market, and then he would come back to the Giants and let them know what the market was, and they would decide whether they wanted to match that deal or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was interesting watching all of that play out, and at one point, John Mara walks in and is like, I'm going to have a hard time if Saquon ends up in Philly. Well, Saquon ended up in Philly. And I'm interested to see how he does this year in Philly, because honestly, that's a guy that I've never minded as a rival player. Like, I enjoyed watching Saquon. I went and saw him 1 year play while he was still at Penn State, drove down to Northwestern and watched him play there. It really is bottled up. Actually, the other guy in that game was, I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember his exact name, but he played running back for the Chargers for quite some time, and he was a solid player. But Saquon was kind of bottled up, and then he broke off like a 70-yard touchdown run. So I've enjoyed watching Saquon even back to Penn State. So I haven't had any vitriol towards him, and honestly, I wouldn't mind him as someone maybe you could add to your team in D.C. Not necessarily at this point in his career. But I'm interested to see how he fits in Philadelphia, because I thought that they had a guy in Swift that was solid. Like, I thought DeAndre Swift was a good running back, and they just didn't seem to fully go in on handing him the football, and I don't know what exactly happened there back in Detroit, because it seemed like he would have stretches where he was solid with Detroit, and they ultimately moved on from him to Philadelphia. Philly didn't seem to want to use him as the workhorse back, even though they only kept him for a year. It was a little odd. Like, maybe it's something with DeAndre Swift that goes along with it, that he's, I don't know if it's behind the scenes or he's telling his guy, I don't know. But I think he's a lot better than he gets credit for, but for whatever reason, he's never used as like a full workhorse.
You know, I was just thinking from the Eagles too, like if you're going back in their history, would have been Reggie White.
Oh yeah, Reggie White.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given, I think.
Oh yeah, who wouldn't love Reggie White? And good guy, yeah. Right? Like, so yeah, I don't. That would have been cool to watch. I wish I could have watched players like him play. And I think you brought up the one earlier that would have been so much fun with Lawrence Taylor. Like, that would have been really cool to see. So I want to get into some Nationals discussion. So we're beginning the second half. It started last night as the Nationals got a win over the Reds to start their second half of the year, the unofficial second half of the year. They're already almost 100 games in. But post-All-Star break, what are some storylines to keep an eye on? And what can we expect out of the Nationals coming up at the trade deadline in just 10 days? We'll talk about all that and more coming up in the final full hour of Overtime here on The Fan next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.